Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
I think it's huge. It honestly is. Not only with as many different things you have to do during the week, as far as being at certain places and doing other things that you don't usually have to do, and then being in the game and knowing that there's going to be adjustments made.
All right, so you heard the excited young quarterback for Kansas City. Kansas City has gone back to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1970, and for the seventh time, the San Francisco 49ers are going. They beat Green Bay, and of course, on the other side of the ball, it was all about the Chiefs beating the Titans. And wow, congratulations to both of those teams. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, hope you had a fabulous weekend. Some sad stories to tell you about, and then things to get ready for. Very, very big week in D.C., needless to say. But quickly, some highlights. The Chiefs, you heard Mahomes there beating the Titans. The final score was 35-24. Mahomes, 294 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. He scrambled and made plays that he had to make. He was just tremendous. And that was the AFC Championship game. In the NFC, the 49ers knocked off the Packers 37-20. Raheem Mostert was really the story on the ground. They just ran the ball 220 yards. 29 carries for him. Wow, 4 touchdowns. Don't forget, we will have a special Nail the Score the week of the Super Bowl. All you have to do is call in when I throw it out and make a guess as to who's going to win and what the final score is going to be. So there you go. You're up to date on that. Pretty exciting stuff for both of those teams, and I mean for all four of those teams heading into it with the opportunity, and then the two teams now going to the Super Bowl. Horrible shooting in Honolulu in Hawaii. Governor, of course, and everybody else reacting and saying how sad they are for the loss of 2 police officers. They were responding to a call for help and then were killed when they got there. There was apparently witnesses say a woman bleeding near a house where the house was set on fire, and they were helping perform first aid on the woman. In fact, it was her leg. They put a tourniquet on her leg, and then there were some gunshots, and you know, just a very, very sad thing. So again, 2 officers killed in the shooting in Honolulu. We move from that to the conversation about what's going to happen with impeachment, and it's just looming because now we have Martin Luther King Day and government offices are closed, and you've got lots of theories as to are the witnesses. It's going to be apparently, it looks like, the question, should witnesses testify at the president's impeachment trial? And it looks like there could be just an up and down vote as to whether or not there should be witnesses. In the meantime, talk about really, you know, putting some high power attorney behind you. Alan Dershowitz, after Ken Starr jumped on the team, Alan Dershowitz joined the president's legal team. And he really hasn't said much other than he was on, I shouldn't say that. He did an interview on ABC this week, and he said, you know, he was asked about a brief, and he said a document. And he said, I didn't sign that brief. I didn't even see the brief until it was filed. It's not part of my mandate. My mandate is to determine what is constitutionally authorized criteria for impeachment. And I think what he's talking about is there were 2 White House lawyers that were responding to some documents and going back and forth with Democrats. But anyway, Dershowitz is one of four lawyers selected by the president and announced heading into the weekend as members of the legal team. The former Florida Attorney General, part of this, Robert Ray, Ken Starr, and now Dershowitz is also part of this legal team. We'll see ultimately how this all turns out. Of course, you know, Tuesday is the day. Monday, again, is the day that is Martin Luther King Day. And the president has urged the Senate to dismiss the charges against him. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, who is a key ally of the president, said that the motion to get this, just erase this, is gone. But he says that the president is eager for the trial to end quickly, ideally before his State of the Union address to Congress, because guess when that's happening? February 4th. And he wants to do the State of the Union and talk about the rest of 2020. And then he says he wants to say what he wants to do for the next 4 years. But, you know, you can't be in the middle of all of this. Would be so clouded if that were the case. Now, here's one of the things that happens. There's going to be, basically, from what I understand, there's going to be a presentation by the House impeachment managers, over 2 days, followed by an equal amount of time for presentation by the president's legal team. I just told you about them. Then that is followed by 16 hours of questioning from members of the Senate. Senators would submit their questions to Chief Justice Roberts, who's presiding over the trial. And then the issue of witnesses would be addressed. And that's where they are on that. On Saturday, the Democrats released a 111-page legal brief laying out their case against the president, arguing that the president withheld a White House meeting and congressionally appropriated aid to pressure the Ukraine into announcing investigations into former VP Joe Biden and his son Hunter. So, you know, there you go. Dershowitz even threw this out. He said that if all the facts presented by the Democrats are true, then the president's actions still don't constitute impeachable offenses, regardless of whether one believes his dealings with the Ukraine were wrong. He's arguing the letter of the law. He's saying if the allegations are not impeachable, then this trial should result in an acquittal, regardless of whether the conduct is regarded as okay by you or by me or by the voters. He says that's an issue for the voters. So I thought that was interesting because, again, following the letter of the law and looking at the laws, it reads is exactly what he is saying. Look at the letter of the law. And that's something I'm certain that will be discussed. All right, one thing that's not going to happen, the craps table that's always open called the stock market. The U.S. stock markets are closed on Monday in observance of Martin Luther King Day. And then they resume normal trading hours, of course, on Tuesday. There are obviously government offices, banks, etc. There are other agencies that are closed as a result of that. So on this day, it'll be closed. Now, the next market holiday, because I was looking all this stuff up today, of course, we know is President's Day, and that's February 17th. So that would be the next up after that. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but trust me, we're going to do a whole thing on taxes. And you know how I feel. Honestly, I say this all the time. I can't believe I've been doing this show for 15 years, the little show that could and can, you know. But here we are on tax time again. I cannot believe, as an entrepreneur, how many phone calls I'm getting from people who need documentation. It's like, didn't I give that to you already? You might be in the same situation and waiting for tax forms. I totally feel you and I understand. But just remember, we're in that tax zone time. That's why we're getting bombarded with commercials. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next. In fact, banking, Sharon Miller, one of my faves, up next.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I gotta tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
All right, here we are, believe it or not, in a new decade, and who better to talk to than our pal Sharon Miller, Managing Director, Head of Small Business, Bank of America. Sharon, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
So we came off of a big year. You did all kinds of business projections, I think, that were, I got to say, mind-blowing. I was looking at those yesterday and this morning. And like I said, here we are in a new decade, 2020. So how are small business owners feeling, do you think, about the economy and their businesses as we are rolling into this new year?
Yeah, well, not only the new year, but a new decade. Uh-huh. So it's just crazy to think about that. And what we found in our survey with small business owners were that they felt that this year, and now we're already in December, 82% of them told us that they were ending on a high note, that their revenues this year would be higher than in full year 2018. So that, to me, is a very good indicator and momentum going into 2020.
So what do you attribute all of that to?
Well, I attribute it to consumer spending. When you look at our own data at Bank of America, our consumer spending year on year is up 5.5%, and that's on $3 trillion in transactions, so not a small number. And the strength of the consumer, that is continuing to accelerate, and they're spending, and that gives confidence, and people are spending with small business owners across the country.
Yeah, and obviously we've seen some of those key economic indicators that we always look for, like hiring, revenue growth. You're mentioning business expansion is always something to look at. You know that. And that's been very, very steady. It was steady at the tail end of last year, wasn't it?
It was. And, I mean, it continues to point to a very strong U.S. economy and that supportive of small businesses. So unemployment continues to stay low. Consumer spending is strong. And that just drives that growth and expansion across the United States.
Yeah. What do you think are the things that keep small business owners awake at night? I know that's a question that we've asked even you in the past. What do you think that they're concerned about the most?
Well, healthcare continues to be a concern over all small business owners. When we survey, and we do this twice per year, it pops to the number one concern of small business owners. The concern of the political environment is also up there on their top concerns. And so we do see them continuing to, think about how this is all going to impact their business and what's happening. But, you know, when you think about how we measure this, we actually saw a decline in concern over those two issues this fall from last fall, even though they rise to the top of their concerns. So that to me points to, again, strength as we go into 2020.
Yeah. We're speaking with Sharon Miller, Managing Director, Head of Small Business, of course, Bank of America. And when you're in a new year, it still is always about predictions. So when we look at predictions for the next decade of small business ownership, what does that look like? What are your predictions?
Well, we continue to see formation of businesses, although, this year it was flat when you think about the business formation versus businesses going out of business. But we continue to see, people breaking out on their own. So whether that be women small business owners, which continue to open businesses and, move out of their corporate world or decide to go into, an area that they love and build a business. We see minority business owners continued strength in that area. And really across the board, we continue to see economic expansion. And so even business owners that are in business today, 80% are hoping to grow or advance their business in the new decade. So there is certainly optimism across the United States and across the business owner sentiment.
Yeah, I love that when you're talking about growing the small business. And, of course, Bank of America, and we've talked for years, you have so many ways for businesses to do that and so much data and so much information. Do you think that that's what people also need, that they, that they're thirsty for that? Like, ooh, how can I do this? What can Bank of America tell me that I don't know? And are they reaching out more for help?
They are. I mean, we continue to expand the number of specialists that we have that help business owners across the country. So in our 4,300 financial centers, we have small business specialists that, if you're thinking about opening a business or if you already have a business, come in, talk to us. We also have our online capabilities and our digital capabilities. And, the number one reason, Kate, that businesses go out of business is because of they can't manage their cash flow. So last year we rolled out our Business Advantage 360, which is a tool for business owners to help manage their cash flow and understand what's coming in and out. So we listen to our clients. We want to understand what they need. And from there, we're able to develop tools, whether it be online. We make sure that we equip our specialists with all the right information. And that's why, we are a national franchise, but we operate in 90 local markets because, what's happening in Dallas, Texas is very different than in San Francisco. And so our local experts really are close to the pulse of what's happening.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said that 90 local markets, because what a difference that makes. And to your point, Sharon, it's obviously very different depending on the part of the country you are, what goes in and comes out, and again, what the consumers and what their products are and what these small businesses do, right?
Right, and then what are their challenges? I think, you asked about what small business owners are challenged with. They keep them up at night, healthcare costs, political environment. But I also think this notion of, people want to hire. When I sit down with our clients, they say, yes, I want to expand my business. 80% tell us they do. 24% say they want to hire and grow in the number of employees. But even if you're not growing in the number of employees, you're going to have attrition. You're going to need to replace. And when you have less than 100 employees, it is so important that you get the right skilled labor. And what I hear from our clients, we can't find the right skilled labor. So I think this is a broader issue that we're going to all have to come together and say, how do we make sure that the workforce of the future is equipped to do the work that needs to be done as we continue to evolve?
Oh, I like that, workforce of the future. That sounds like a speech, Sharon.
My goodness. I'm just very passionate about it because it is so interesting. You know, we have so much to do and so much strength in the economy, and there's so much excitement and optimism. But then you got to peel that back and say, okay, how do we make sure that there's that foundation that's able to sustain this? And one real important, in fact, I think the most important, you know, asset to any company are people. And do you have the right people doing the right things to be able to help drive your business forward?
Yeah, that's definitely something that I think I agree with you. That's the main thing I think that so many companies struggle with, period, and especially a lot of small businesses, to your point of how are they hiring and how many people and all of that. So as we kind of close this out, I'm just wondering, on a personal note, I have like 15 New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to see if I can keep up with them. How about you? Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
I do. You know, it's I agree. It's, you know, you kind of put your list together, you start mentally thinking, what do I want to make sure that I'm doing that you know, I could improve on? And I am chronic overscheduler. I try to put too much in, and so sometimes that makes me run a little bit behind or I'm late. And I've been, this year, that was actually on my last year's New Year's resolution list too, and I'm doing better. I won't say I'm perfect, but it's just, I just got to continue to get better and more mindful. And, you know, I want to be on time. I mean, it's hard to be on time sometimes. You know, we try to do it all. And I think it's something that I've been working on and I'll continue to do.
All right, I love that. We must have the same list, because that's the same thing for me, over scheduling. And then I hate that. I say it's the circle of trust. Like you get maybe 5 to 8 minutes, but then if you're later than that, unless you're in the middle of Manhattan, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. You are, and it's just not good. So yeah, so that's what, and I'll you know, my last name, obviously, Miller, and so some of my circle of trust, they call me Miller Time. I don't want that anymore. I'm going to be on time Miller Time, not late Miller Time.
I love that. Sharon Miller, Managing Director, Head of Small Business Bank of America, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Always great to have Sharon Miller on the show, and especially here we are just a couple of weeks into the new year and, as I mentioned, the decade. And it was interesting how entrepreneurs finished, and 4 in 5 U.S. small business owners anticipate that strong growth coming into this next year, too. And there were some great, great little nuggets I'm going to quickly sum up for you that I got from Bank of America and their Bank of America Advantage Fall 2019 Small Business Owner Snapshot. U.S. business owners are coming up on a high note, 82% anticipating that year-over-year revenue growth. And as they closed out last year, small business growth indicators pretty steady. And what does that mean? 69% plan to expand, 58% expect to see their revenue increase, 24% plan to hire, 12% intend to apply for a loan. So those are all great, great numbers. Stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Hawaii's governor says two police officers were killed when a man opened fire as they were responding to an assault call. KGME TV reporter Keahi Tucker says there was also a big fire.
The suspect's house caught fire. It appears he set the fire. That fire started to rage, but because there was an active shooter situation and this man had already killed two police officers, fire crews could not get to that house. That fire spread. We've confirmed at least four homes were burned down, at least three of them just completely destroyed, rubble. It may be as many as six homes that have burned.
A third officer was injured. Police have identified the suspect as 69-year-old Jerry Hennell. He was found dead inside his home near Diamond Head, which is just past Waikiki. This is USA Radio News.
Tired of overpaying for the little blue pill? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in the blue pill. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of the little blue pill. So give your wallet a break and call us toll free at 800-365-6017 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-365-6017 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this, so call 800-365-6017 now.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
So pleased to welcome to the show Lori Blitch. She's a business owner for the past 19 years and owns Magellan Christian Academies in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to talk about something that I talk about on the show and previously in Jacksonville, Florida, too, as well. Her schools have won all kinds of awards, including Declaration of Magellan Day by the mayor of Jacksonville, Florida. That was back in 2010. I could go on and on about her accolades, but I want to make sure that I get to the meat of her schools and what we're talking about here. So, Lori, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's great being back on your show again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, one of the things, and this is that other sidebar thing, you're the published author of children's books, and you've even gotten the gold star status on Amazon. And that last time you were here, that's exactly what we talked about.
Yes, Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
So now we're talking about the schools, and the first question is that comes to mind is, how did you become involved in these private schools?
Well, I kind of saw over the years of indoctrination going on in campuses, I saw not only at the college level, which I have taught at the college level, but also now in the high school, it is now in the middle school and the elementary, which is just completely surprises me. And now it is spilling over to the early learning academies and schools. And it was concerning me. And I said, we've got to get back to traditional academic learning. And over the last 60 years, I just noted that we have moved away from content academia and we've moved towards more ideological control of schools. And that's not academia. And it's, and I remember when I was getting my master's degree years ago, I saw a movie just popped up one day. It was called Idiocracy. And it's a rather crude movie, but I think it kind of gives the viewer a sense of how society disintegrates when people are not properly educated. So I wanted to open Magellan Academy because I wanted to capture children at a very young age when their mind is most open to learning. I wanted to put in their faith-based Judeo-Christian principles, teach them values, and also teach math and science because that is so fundamentally important to children at a young age to develop those pathways in their brain. And I wanted to teach from a solid foundation of a good curriculum that is pretty much laid out without much wiggle room for the teachers because I tightly control the education in my schools. I just don't let anybody willy-nilly teach it as they want. I tightly control it here as to what's taught in my schools. But we teach traditional academic learning, which is what I wanted, where we teach phonics rather than memorization. And today they've kind of gotten away from phonics and to more of the memorization type reading, which memorization is fine, but anybody who's in academia knows that memorization is kind of a lower form of learning. It's not your higher level learning where you apply things that you learn. For instance, you know, some people made the argument to me, well, you know, isn't anatomy, isn't anatomy memorization? I said, yes, but you can memorize all the bones, but you got to be able to know where they go in the body. So you got to apply that knowledge of where those bones are. So I believe in teaching the concepts. We believe in teaching phonics, proper way to read, et cetera. And then once they learn that, then they commit that to memory. So those are the things that we do here at Magellan. We've had great success with our test scores have been excellent. I just had a parent here the other day and she was talking to me and she says, My daughter is doing so well in school now, and she says, and as a result, we live probably about 15 to 18 miles from you, but we drive this distance just to bring our son, who's in our kindergarten preparatory program. And she said, we drive 18 miles just to bring him. So those are some really great feedback that I get. And you know what's interesting, Kate? I was in New Orleans a few years ago, and I was at a school kind of watching about some different teaching techniques and things of that type. And there was a little girl by the name of Taylor, and she was about 8 or so years old. She was a very industrious young girl. And she goes to get this little manipulative building tools here, and she's putting them all back together, putting them in logical order. And I'm watching her. Well, this other little girl pops over by her and says, I want that. I want to play with that. And Taylor looks at the little girl and says, no. So the little girl goes to the teacher and says, I want that. I want to play with that. And so the teacher goes to little Taylor and says, Taylor, you know the rules. We have to share everything. And I thought to myself, whoa, time out. This little girl took the effort to took this off the shelf, put everything back together, which was clearly in a mess. She sorted everything, and then she started building. And then this other little girl gets upset with her because she wouldn't share it and just tosses some of the things into the floor. But the teacher tried to get Taylor to share her things. And so I took the little girl by the hand when the teacher got her attention got diverted. I took the little girl by the hand. I showed her something else and redirected her. So I got her involved into something else. So I went to the teacher and I said, the philosophy of sharing, you said that everybody has to share. Is that correct? She said, yes, it makes us become better adults. And I said, but But why should she share something that she'd got herself and put together just because this little girl wants it? She goes, because as adults, we have to learn as adults, we share everything. And I said, okay, well, if you believe that philosophy, then count me in. How about you share your bank account with me? And then all of a sudden, that was, oh, no, hands off my, I said, no, you can't pick and choose what you want to share. If you believe that we should teach children to share everything they have and then it makes us better adults so that we share. And I said, that makes no logical sense to me. I said, because now what you're teaching that other little girl is one, to, that she can take away from somebody something that they have. But the second thing is to covet what somebody else has. And I said, so you're teaching her all the wrong values. And of course, she and I had a nice little dialogue, and I said, but I'm still waiting for that bank account so we can share that.
Wow, what a great example. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, those are the kind of things that are being taught in schools anymore, and I stand in complete amazement of that.
And, you know, you talked about influences and you talked about the curriculum and obviously what you've seen. And of course, for 19 years running Magellan Christian Academies, as I mentioned previously in Jacksonville, now in Phoenix, Arizona, and then the reaction you've gotten from some parents. You talk about Ayn Rand, and that's a book I read, Atlas Shrugged. And how did that book affect your beliefs and, you know, about business and government, what we're talking about, that also wraps into what these kids are learning?
Well, I read the book. I was a military officer at the time, and I was up going through Charleston, South Carolina. It was during the time of Desert Storm, and I was mobilized up to the Northeast. And I go through Charleston, South Carolina. I was in the historic district, and I saw a book called The Fountainhead, which was a book written prior to Atlas Shrugged. And, you always want to just kind of thumb through the book, read through the pages. It was interesting, so I read the book. But a couple of years later, though, I read that book, Atlas Shrugged, and written by Ayn Rand. And for your readers, if they're not, or the listeners, if they've never read the book, it's a life-changing book, literally. It's a story about the United States that's becoming more and more dysfunctional. The government takes more and more control over businesses through regulations, collectivist policies. And in the book, it's what Ayn Rand refers to, irrational altruism. And the government regulations that become so stifling to businesses and inventions, and the individual human spirit just is becoming so harnessed that these people eventually revolt. And John Galt, who's kind of a main character in the book, who believes in unleashing the individual human spirits to reach your full potential, he takes them away and to put them in a place, I believe it's called Gulch, or I can't remember. It's like Gulch in Colorado. You can't see it from the air, and you can't see it if you drive past it. So you take all these smart, productive people, and you put them in a place, and you take them away from a dysfunctional society. And kind of in the book, at the end, the United States is kind of left to defend for itself for people who believe in taking from hardworking people and voting people in to take from them, and then the country just collapses. And then the thought of the book is they'll bring all these people back out to build this up. But I was, as a military officer, I was in many third world countries, and I just saw the abject poverty and the servitude with people, and it just made me cringe, because you always want to see people do well in life, and you want them to have opportunities. And I was in so many of these third world countries, and you could just see the despair on the people's faces. There was nothing for them, and their governments had just inflicted servitude upon them. But in contrast, when I'd get back to the United States, I would see how capitalism unleashed the individual human spirit and creativity and our burst of technological and scientific innovation.
Hang on a second, Lori. We're going to continue with Lori Blitch in just a second here on America Tonight. that in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
How lucky can one guy be?
Kate Delaney, and we're back with Lori Blitch. So, Lori, in the end, what did you take away from Ayn Rand's book?
All these countless hundreds of industrialists of our country that improved the lives for hundreds of millions of people. And I think today what they probably refer to these men as, what do they call that, toxic masculinity or something?
Yeah.
But these were great men, and I would love to sit and just have a conversation with these great men and just learn from them because they were incredible people. But, you know, not only did they invent things, but they opened companies and they employed multitudes of people and they increased their standard of living while helping the lives of hundreds of millions of people. And I know of no government that has done this. And if anything, governments extract wealth from the private sector for themselves. But capitalism has transformed the world for the better. And this is what Ayn Rand speaks about in her book, Atlas Shrugged. And, you know, you go to, in contrast, you go to socialist countries and they impose heavy regulations and burdens upon businesses. The taxation is so high. I believe, for instance, in your Scandinavian countries like Norway and Sweden and those, it's like a 60%. And nobody wants to go to work to pay 60% of your income to the government and just to let them squander it. But, you know, socialism, as you and I both know, that it believes in income redistribution. And, for instance, if I were to go to Venezuela right now with $1 million, and I distribute, and I go through by what socialists believe, and I take that $1 million, and I distribute it among 1 million people. I have done nothing. I have not lifted anybody up. everybody is still poor, now including myself. So, you know, it's just kind of like what Margaret Thatcher said, you know, socialism works till you run out of other people's money. And so, but if you take smart, productive people with a concentration of wealth and you invest into business, invention, and technology, I can help hundreds of millions of people and I can employ tens of millions of people. So like I said, if I went to Venezuela with a million and I spread all of it out, I've done nothing. But if I take that concentration of wealth and I open businesses in Venezuela, then I'm going to help countless thousands, if not millions of people as I open up lots of businesses. And as a result, when I open more businesses, people are going to have a little more disposable income. They can afford to buy a home. Well, homes need furniture. So now furniture companies spring up. Furniture makers spring up. Well, you got to have people to drive that furniture from the factory to the furniture stores and from the furniture stores to the people's homes. Now you need plumbers. You need electricians. Now they think, well, I have a little bit more money. Let me get my teeth done now. So now we need dentists. So we need schools to teach dentists. And then we need dental hygienists. So capitalism helps everybody. Socialism helps nobody, and as we'll see down there with Venezuela, that once wonderful country has now been reduced to, it's become the poster child of dysfunctionalism. And, you know, but you have to blame the people. They opened the door of the vampire of socialism, and they let him in the door, and they can't uninvite that guy now. So, and these people are being reduced to eating dog food, breaking into zoos, and slaughtering the animals just so that they can eat.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So people have to be careful. Yeah, and you know what's interesting too, George McGovern, Senator McGovern, when he got out of office a number of years ago, he believed in taxation and regulations, and he, after he got out of the Senate, he opened up an inn, I believe it was in Stratford, Connecticut. And 2 years later he filed bankruptcy and his business went under. But he even cited high taxes, regulations from the state, federal, and local, as well as, of course, splash in the recession, which didn't help much. But he said that he wished he would have listened to the wise counsel of business people rather than forging ahead with his policies that he wanted to enforce through legislation. And a lot of it was probably good intentions, but unintended consequences that happened. But this book literally was a life changer for me when I read this book on Ayn Rand. And unfortunately, a lot of people always want to look at Scandinavian countries, for instance, Sweden, how it's a utopian. It's not. You can't listen to the press and believe what they say about this stuff because they don't even do their research. And, of course, they want to spin it. They're ideologues, a lot of them. And not only that, you know, you hear the politicians talk about how wonderful they are, and they're not. And you know, if anybody knows anything about Sweden, it's really not very socialistic at all. Yeah, you have socialized health care, which is a very poor form of health care. But back in the 70s and 80s, prior to that, Sweden wasn't socialistic hardly at all. It was only in the 70s and 80s. And then their economy was in a free fall because of socialism. They could not pay their pensions or anything of that type. So they had to throw out the politicians in the 80s and then greatly reduce the size of government, reduce taxes tremendously. They had to have pension reform, and their pensions were similar to our Social Security over here. And they privatized many of the government-owned businesses, and I believe they even privatized their subway system over there. They eliminated inheritance taxes. Then what they did with their pension reform was they privatized most of their pension reforms to take the votes away from the politicians. And as a result, their economy just mushroomed, and they're doing well today because of that. They also created school vouchers where you could take your child to either private or public education. So, and they actually have freer markets than we do in this country. And that's why they're doing so well. So for these politicians and the media to say that we should mold ourselves to them, well, hey, I'm all for that. We need to make our markets even freer, you know, and let's lower the you know, the government get them out and let's have school vouchers for people. So it's like, okay, so do your homework.
Right. It's funny. You're right, because people don't do their homework and then they spout something that isn't right. As we come to a close with this, Lori, and we've talked about this and your philosophy and what's happened and what's really made Magellan thrive and what you've done with the curriculum, I want to go back to that for the last couple of minutes and tell us what you're most proud of as being the business owner for 19 years. I mean, and you've had an interesting background and have an interesting background writing children's books, a naval officer for 20 years, all of that and healthcare wrapped into it. So tell me what you're most proud about with Magellan.
Well, that we have graduated thousands of students, and our graduations every year, we have about 600 to 700 people that attend our graduations. Our students recite, we teach them the Constitution. They recite the Constitution preamble, and they break it down because that preamble has a tremendous amount of meanings in it. As you know, our founding fathers did a beautiful job writing that Constitution. And I always tell people that in order to have a culture, you have to have a lifeline to the past. And we have to know where we came from to know where we're going. And so we teach our children about American exceptionalism. We teach them about the Constitution. So we have them recite this, and the parents absolutely love it. Our test scores are really high. We don't indoctrinate. We teach true education, which lifts educational standards, whereas indoctrination has very low educational standards, if any, really at all, and they're usually taught by ideologues. So we do that, and our students do incredibly well because I have a great love for knowledge and facts. And, of course, we always want to splash in some wisdom in there, too.
I love that wisdom, too. All right, so tell us a website where people can go to find out more about the school.
They can go to MagellanAcademies.com.
Magellan Academy.
MagellanAcademies.com.
Excellent. All right, Lori Blitch, we could talk all night long and all day long. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, again, thanks to Lori Blitch for that, and you heard about her school and that conversation about Ayn Rand. Just a little bit more about Ayn Rand if you don't know her. And she mentioned picking up the book The Fountainhead and of course, Atlas Shrugged. Those are the two best-selling novels. And she's known for developing a philosophical system that she actually called objectivism, easy for me to say. And here's the deal. She was educated in Russia. She moved to the United States in the mid-20s. And this is the deal, exactly what you heard from Lori about what we now see, certainly, with capitalism and letting people do what they do. There's all kinds of Ayn Rand quotes, of course, very, very famous. And one of the things that I can remember her saying is, a creative man is motivated by the desire to achieve, not by the desire to beat others. And then the question isn't who is going to let me, it's who is going to stop me. And I think that is incredibly interesting. And if you haven't read The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, pick them up. It's interesting because whether you agree with Ayn Rand or not, it's really interesting and fascinating to read her point of view and think about the times and when she put those together. Hey, thanks to everybody for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.